Halloween, this is Halloween, 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 Halloween.
In this tower we call home, everyone hail to the pumpkin song.
Live 95 Coleman Scary Independent Radio Station. I don't even know where Melissa got that one from. I think it was off the Nightmare Before Christmas Disney album or something like that. Playing quite a few Halloween tunes for you through tomorrow, because you know if you were to scour the radio dial, unfortunately there are a few stations which shall remain nameless already playing Christmas music. So that's kind of our, we're a little rebellious against that here at Live 95. We're Coleman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP, 4 o'clock on Thursday, meaning it's time for Sports Talk Live. Sports Talk Live comes to you every Tuesday and Thursday at 4 o'clock, brought to you in part by our friends at People's Bank, who bring you Where's Moolah each and every week, as well as the Player of the Week. And also our sponsors, Alpha Insurance, Agent Cynthia Phillips, AK Rentals, Cyber Broadband, Fuller Optical, Michael's Flowers and Gifts, Morton's Buildings, Odin's Auto Glass, Scissors Salon, and Tommy Warhurst, the Warhurst Agency, your farmer's insurance agent. Here are your hosts for Sports Talk Live. It's Jason Spiegel and Ronnie Barnes.
Thank you, Jay, and welcome everyone to the Thursday edition of Sports Talk Live. Ronnie, big game tonight, so the week is ending in a bang.
That's exactly right. It's a great day. It's Thursday, puts us one more closer to the weekend and college football, and thankfully, at least tonight, hey, we've got a pretty good ball game, Jason. Going to be on ESPN, I'm sure, between the Florida State Seminoles and the Louisville Cardinals. So that could be a good game, and it may be the only opportunity that Florida State has to lose another game or lose a game in regular season.
Now, don't get a lot of great games on Thursday night,
right.
But this is going to be one that may be worth watching. Hopefully, it'll be worth watching.
If I was going to be home, I'd be watching it.
I will be watching
it. I know
it,
you will.
I know you'll be headed south after
right.
The show.
That's it.
Somebody's got to do it, so you might as well.
It's my turn.
Ronnie, first off, let's get this out of the way. What did you think? What's your thoughts on the ratings that come out, the committee, playoff committee coming out Tuesday night after we got off the air with their first ever playoff ratings?
Yeah. You know, Jason, I think we talked about it during the show, and not patting myself on the back by any means, but I think I said I would not be surprised any in the least if – Auburn does not jump Alabama in the poll, and that's exactly what happened. So
you nailed that one, and now I'm still a bit surprised about it. Not so much surprised that Alabama didn't make the top four, but really surprised that Auburn did make the top four.
I think it came down, and they haven't played really well either.
No,
you know, in stretches, and they've won, and Alabama hasn't played well in stretches, and they've won. You know, most of them, both of them are sitting there. I think Auburn's 6-1, Alabama's 7-1 at this point. So, bottom line, they both got one loss. And I'm not on the committee, so I would have no way of knowing. But I think they would just probably look at their schedule.
Yeah, I think it came down. I forgot the spokesman's name. He was asked about Auburn. Well, he was asked pretty much about every team.
Yeah.
But
is that Jeff Long?
I think. Yep, you're right.
Yeah, and he's the AD at Arkansas.
Right.
As a matter of fact.
It basically came down Auburn being ahead of Alabama because Auburn lost on the road to Ole Miss, which is now the number four team, was as high as two. And the quality win, they're saying, Kansas State on the road. And so I'm saying Mississippi State.
Yeah. Okay, I thought, wait a minute.
I get the wrong team. So.
Yeah, Auburn lost to Mississippi State on the road.
Right.
But then they had
which
a big
is the number one team.
Which
now.
Is right. And then they turned, but you know, to start the season off, they beat Kansas State, and that's the only game Kansas State has lost, and they're ranked as well. And we'll go through the whole, you know, polls here in just a minute. I'll read them off. But I was not surprised that Auburn was in front of Alabama. I was a little surprised, but, you know, once you look at their schedule, you can kind of see it. Why Oregon? I didn't see Oregon bumping Bama.
Right.
But if you look at their schedule, Oregon's toughest opponent was Michigan State, and they defeated, you know, the, I think they defeated them.
They beat them pretty handily.
They beat Michigan State, and then they lost to, it's just left me who Oregon lost.
Was it Arizona?
Arizona, that's right. Arizona beat them. Matter of fact, they beat them 2 years in a row.
Right.
But they had a lot of, basically their whole, I think, offensive line was depleted due to injuries at that game. But that's a roundabout story where I'm trying to go with this, is Oregon defeated Michigan State, who is a better football team than the West Virginia that Alabama beat.
Yeah.
And so I think it may have come down just to that particular game right there being the deciding factor whether Alabama sits at 5-6. And you know, and we both said, it makes no difference anyway.
It just makes
no difference.
Alabama fans Tuesday night immediately went off on Facebook, and they have covered the radio programs up. And, folks, I said it before that. We talked about it Tuesday on the show. If you're in the top 10, 12, it don't matter if you're 10 or you're 3. Oh, you've got to win out.
That's it. It's a playoff every single week, just like what Jay Jacobs said when we were fortunate enough, or you hooked it up where we could interview him. He said it's a playoff every week, and that's exactly what it is this week with Auburn and Ole Miss. You got 3 and 4 playing one another.
Right, and it's an elimination game.
Well, that's an elimination game, you would think. You know, if you end up with two losses at this point in the season, your chances of representing the West are probably not real good. I wouldn't say it's impossible.
Yeah, but
at all,
it's I would say slim to none.
And so,
Ronnie, one thing that I did feel good about after looking at the ratings, and especially the top four, is the committee apparently is not worried about being politically correct and making everybody in the nation happy by naming somebody out of each conference in the top four.
That's right. That's right, because they put, you know, two SEC schools, you know, in the top four. And honestly,
three SECs.
Three in the top four, and four in the top six. And Alabama could have easily probably been five.
Right. And so Notre Dame back 10, we thought they might be a little higher because they are Notre Dame.
They are. They didn't get as much love as I thought. No. You know, as they may get. So, but again, it really makes no difference whatsoever. The only poll that matters is the one that comes on December the 7th, and I believe that will determine who's in the playoff. But everybody's, you know, if you win, you're in. If you lose, you're not.
Right.
So, you know, it's really not that big a deal.
And I didn't realize, maybe you had heard this, but I did not know this until I heard Jeff Long speaking after the polls were released. But each week, according to them, it's hard for me to believe this, but according to the committee, they will start from scratch each week. The former week's poll is gone.
Yeah.
And so theoretically, you could have a team number one this week that doesn't lose and could end up number five or six next week.
That's right. Depending, I guess, you know, on who else played and who played well and who didn't play well. So,
but I have a hard time believing they're not going to look at the former ratings in the week and say, hey, this team was number three. We've got to drop them, but we can't drop them out of the top four or whatever, you know.
Exactly. So, and it's still going to be difficult for me to believe that, and I know Jay Jacobs, you know, he spoke differently, but now I understand why he's speaking as he is, too, because he's an AD and he doesn't want to offend anybody on the committee that, you know, is going to say who's in and who's not. But I know we've talked about it, and I find it real hard to not believe that people's prejudices are not going to come into play when comes down to, you know, to determine who's going to be in the playoff.
I wonder, and we can look it up. This is something I'll try to look up during today's show. How many SEC ties we have in that committee and how many from outside? Because there is, we've said it 100 times, there is an SEC hate throughout the rest of the nation.
Absolutely.
And I really can't blame them.
No.
You know, if you get hearing something all the time, you get tired of hearing it.
That's true. But
tired,
you know,
of the SEC.
That's right. But, you know, and you get tired of getting spanked every year in the national championship.
Right.
But, you know, the only solution to that is get better.
Yeah, that's it.
Or get some more of it. You know, either accept it or get better.
Brings up the TCU game last week, scoring 82 points, and I heard it more than once. You know, people saying the way the committee is and the way things are thought to be, TCU needed to score points to draw attention.
Yeah.
If you don't want 82 scored against to get a better defense.
That's right.
So
play better.
Yeah, that's
you
it.
Know, I know. I when I was still coaching, I went to a coach's clinic one time, and Billy Tubbs, who most people won't have a clue who that is, but years ago he was the head basketball coach at Oklahoma, and it was during their heyday. And when Oklahoma, and he would light you up. I mean, if he could beat you 100, he'd beat you 100. Somebody asked him a question one day at the conference, and he said, "Coach, what do you say to these other coaches when you're going over to shake their hand after you just, you know, you just annihilate them?" And he said, "I ask them, when can you come back?"
Yeah, there you go.
So, you know, it's just like you said, it's part of the game. You know, if you don't want to get your eyes beat out, recruit better, get better players.
And if you see that paying dividends for teams that score points, you're going to see it more and more as teams will
track
on another touchdown at the end instead of kneeling down, and you can't blame them. You have to do what you have to do.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Your team.
Right. But I don't, you know, again, I know we've already stated it, and I'm a big Alabama fan. I don't have a problem with them being 6. Because right now,
in fine shape,
so. You know, it doesn't matter. And I don't know if you heard anything about Saban. Somebody asked him about it, and he, you know, he just was completely, you know, have no interest. I don't even, he's probably lying, but I hate to say he's lying, but. He said, "I don't even know what the polls are. I don't even know where we rank. I don't care where we rank." He said, "It doesn't matter." You know, right now, he said, "It's something for you, all you media people to talk about." And he said, "And that's just about it. It doesn't mean anything to me."
Right, and it doesn't.
It's irrelevant.
Something for us to aggravate each other.
That's
about.
Right. That's exactly right. Something to talk about. But hey, Jason, if you want me to, I'll run down the list right quick. If you want to hear the top 25, now this is by the committee. Number 25 is Louisville, and
playing tonight
again against Florida State. That I think they will win the ball game. As a matter of fact, I think. Bobby Petrino is as good of any play caller, offensive mind in college football, bar none. He's as good as any. I'm not saying he's the best.
His mind don't work the best on a motorcycle.
That's right.
But,
that's right.
When he's on the football field,
he
is
good. Absolutely right. So I just think they can win the ball game. But anyway, they're ranked number 25th. Duke comes in at 24. East Carolina, 23. UCLA, 22. Clemson, 21. West Virginia, that was the biggest win Alabama's had. They're ranked 20th. LSU's 19. Oklahoma, 18. I really hate that for them. 17 is Utah. 16 is Ohio State. 15, Nebraska. 14, Arizona State. 13, Baylor. 12, Arizona. Number 11 is the Georgia Bulldogs. And that's a club to really look out for. And just throwing this out, I know you're excited to see that Todd Gurley will be back in time for the Auburn game.
And, you know, Ronnie, honestly, it doesn't bother me in the least bit because two reasons. They're doing pretty well without him. Chubb or Flub or Dub or whatever his name is, the freshman running back.
Yes.
He is racking up yards. And last year could be a completely different story this year.
Yeah.
Last year, Gurley done basically nothing against Auburn.
But do you think by him having to sit in additional games that he would just be foaming at the mouth to get back?
Yeah, he's probably foaming at the mouth anyway.
Yeah. But I just
bring him. If we can't beat a Georgia team with Todd Gurley in the backfield, we don't need to be in the playoffs.
That's
anyway.
Right, and you won't be.
Yeah.
But I think that, and I know that's on down the road a little bit, but that's going to be a heck of a ball game. Gurley back, and then, of course, Georgia is going to, you know, they're going to have their stinger out because of, you know, the way they lost the ball game to Auburn last year. So,
and we do play positive for Auburn, do play that game at Georgia.
Yeah,
and
which is a good thing for Auburn.
Yeah,
isn't
it is. It's a little screwed up, you might say, because usually Auburn does better at Georgia. Georgia does better at Auburn for some reason.
That's weird, isn't
it? I have no idea why.
It's one of those things. So anyway, Georgia's sitting there at 11, 10, Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish. So Joe Pace, I know, is thrilled, and all of his clan there with the Paces. Kansas State, which turned out to be a huge win for Auburn. They're sitting there at 9th. And I think that is the telltale sign of why Auburn jumped Alabama. I don't think there's any question there. To me, there's not. Kansas State, 9. Michigan State is at 8. You know, Michigan State lost early in the year, and they've been quite dominant ever since then, and they are right back in the, you know, they are right back in the thick of things. And they still, you know, as we said earlier, we thought they were out of it, but they have a, I think, a great opportunity to get in the playoff if they can continue to win. TCU comes in at seven, Alabama 6, Oregon 5, Ole Miss 4, Auburn 3, Florida State 2, and the Mississippi State Bulldogs come in at number 1. Two undefeateds left in that poll. One thing kind of I've noticed there, there is one undefeated school. This is trivia for you, Jason. One undefeated school that is in the AP poll that was not in the committee poll.
That would undefeated. Be the Thundering Herd.
That's
Marshall.
It. Marshall. They're 23rd in the AP poll, and they are unranked in the committee poll. They are sitting at 8-0.
What do you think about that one, Ronnie? We got a couple of minutes. What do you think about Marshall? Undefeated and not even in the top 25.
The only thing they can be looking at is their schedule.
Yeah, and that's what Jeff Long said, that basically Marshall has zero quality wins.
Yeah.
And until they get some quality wins.
You know, Jason, I know we got to go to a break in a couple of minutes, but with that thought in mind, like a Marshall, again, sitting there undefeated, and they can't even break the top 25, and there's only three undefeated schools, is that sending a message, I wonder, to all athletic directors that your non-conference games, you may need to stiffen up some of your competition?
So. I asked Jay Jacobs the other day about what kind of effect, and he basically said didn't know yet, but as we've talked about, it's going to have an effect, and you're going to see schools like Samford, Birmingham Southern, Jacksonville State.
Yeah, I wonder.
They're taking a big hit in the
I know. So. And, you know, you wonder. I know there's two schools thought, and I heard other people saying, well, if they go into this committee and they're going to take the, you know, the power conferences are going to be in anyway, then play the lightest non-conference schedule you can.
Yeah.
If they're going to take the Power Five and make the decision from that. So I guess there's two schools of thought, you know, to look at. Maybe if you're a mid-major or something, you need to beef up your non-conference to try to just get ranked. I don't know.
I'm thinking if I'm the athletic director, I'm looking for a stronger schedule.
I am too. I'm going to take my chance with a stronger schedule to get in, you know, highly ranked.
All right, the music's playing. That means it's time for a break. Come back, you know what it's time for?
Is it time for Greg?
Greg Smith. OnlyBestBets.com. We'll be giving him a call and
get your pen and paper out.
What's happening this week? You're listening to Sports Talk Live, 95.5 Coleman, Alabama.
Scissors Salon is your full-service salon, conveniently located on Highway 278 East in Coleman. Scissors welcomes men, women, and children. Appointments and walk-ins welcome. At Scissors, it's all about you. Personal service and attention to detail. That's Scissors. Highway 278 East, Coleman. The little shop with the big scissors on the roof. Scissors, open Tuesday through Friday, 734-6006. That's Scissors. Tommy Warhurst.
And I'm Jason Coretti.
Inviting you to join us this Friday night for Friday Night Live.
Friday Night Live will showcase Coleman County's best high school football.
This week, it's senior night for the Coleman Bearcats as they host the Russellville Golden Tigers.
Airtime is 6:40 this Friday night on Live 95.
Listen live locally on Live 95 or from anywhere in the world on our Live 95 stream at live95coleman.com.
Or download the TuneIn Radio app. Search for Live 95.5 Coleman and listen on your smartphone.
Russellville at Coleman. This week on Friday Night Live, here on Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. Friday Night Live is brought to you in part by Farmers Insurance, the Warhurst Agency, Cyber Broadband, Good Hope Pharmacy, Morton Buildings, AK Rentals, Odin's Auto Glass, Scissors Salon, Fuller Optical, Alpha Agent Cynthia Phillips, Specialty Pharmacy, Joe Coretti Auto Service, and 157 Hardware. It's football season,
and good vision is a must for the referee and for the rest of us. For over 35 years, Dr. Wayne Fuller has been serving Coleman and the surrounding area. At Fuller Optical, we are more than happy to assist you with all of your vision needs. We're located in the heart of downtown Coleman, just south of the Catholic Church. We can be reached online at fulleroptical.com or 256-734-1121. 734-1121. If you like us on Facebook or mention our ad, you can get 10% off designer frames. That's Fuller Optical in the heart of downtown Coleman, just south of the Catholic Church.
If you're looking to make your building dream a reality, now is a great time to talk to your Morton Building sales consultant. Morton Buildings is a company that has been serving its customers for well over 100 years. From the first meeting with your sales consultant to the delivery and the construction, every aspect of the building process is handled by Morton. Morton Buildings constructs everything from hobby shops and suburban garages to farm storage buildings, even horse barns. With Morton, you get the building that you need and the quality and customer service the company is known for. You can make your dream come true. Available at Morton Buildings, 256-352-0406 in Garden City, or visit their website at MortonBuildings.com.
All right, 4:23. You're listening to Sports Talk Live, Thursday edition. And when it's Thursday edition, Ronnie, it means the hottest man in the United States.
That's exactly right.
And we're going to welcome Greg Smith, onlybestbets.com, to the show. Greg, welcome back.
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
Hey, it's going great here, man. We're in sunshine and probably 65, 70 degrees. It couldn't be any better. Football tonight, so we're in heaven.
All right. Sounds good.
Hey, Greg, just to get off to the right way, since Florida State and Louisville playing tonight, Florida State, a 3.5, some places as low as 2.5, I think, now. Favorite tonight. How do you see this game shaking out?
Well, unfortunately, the number is a little bit, it opened at 7, and it quickly the Sharps jumped on it and quickly brought it down to 4 spots, 4.5. Then public money came onto that a little bit and drove it back down to 3.5. Since then, it's kind of moved between 3 and 4. I haven't seen too many spots where it's at 2. If it's at 2.5, that's actually probably a good sign to be on the Louisville side, just because there's more money being driven down. With 30% of the public on Louisville, it makes a little bit more sense from a number standpoint. I actually, as you know, Jason, I gave this game out tonight. I think this is a good play, a good spot for Louisville. They're number one in the country in defense, coming off a bye. One of my big plays last year was Denver versus the Seattle Seahawks. And the reason why I picked the Seahawks in that game, the Super Bowl, was because you give a defense enough time, like a 2 weeks prepare for a game, typically they're going to get the better number of you. And I like the same spot here for Louisville. I see Louisville actually probably coming up with an upset tonight, which is great, because not only do I have money on the game, I have become not a very big fan of Florida State, and I can't wait to see those guys practically go down and lose their number 4 spot. And I tell you, when Florida State loses tonight, if they do, and I think that they will, that'll be all we say with them. They want to be sniffing the Final Four from here on out, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think not only are you tired and Ronnie and I tired of Florida State, but I think pretty much the whole nation other than the FSU fans are tired of Florida State.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen, none of the players got arrested this week, as we know of. Right. So the line kind
of it was a good week at Tallahassee then, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It seems like it always is.
Oh, man. Hey, Greg, talking about Florida State, if they don't lose a game, you know, tonight, I don't see any chance. Do you, from your perspective, of them, you know, losing a game till the playoff?
I don't answer your question. If they don't lose tonight and they run the table, yeah, they're going to be in the playoffs. I don't think there's any way they're going to be not out of it. That's what happens when you win national championships in the year before. and you have a Heisman Trophy winner. They're going to be there. If they win out, they're going to be there. There's no way the committee will take them off that.
Hey, Greg, I'll just ask you one more quick thing, kind of off the cuff. How did you see, what did you think about the committee's poll rankings that came out? Were you pretty much in agreement with that, at least, you know, the top five or six?
Yeah, I think they did a pretty good job, actually. I liked how they didn't shy away from the teams that lost, the tough losses. I mean, the SEC, it hurts me to say this, as you know, guys know I'm a Pac-12 guy, but they're clearly the best conference. And the committee did a good job of making sure that the majority of that Final Four was the SEC. Unfortunately, though, Auburn's in a bad spot. Not only do I think they're a better team this year than they were last year, but they have a gauntlet of a schedule.
Right.
And they've gone to Mississippi State. They got to go into Ole Miss this weekend. They got to go into Alabama. You know, and unfortunately, if they suffer their second loss, there's just I just don't think they're going to have. I think the committee is going to look at wins and losses at that point, and they're not going to get in. And it's unfortunate because I do feel that Auburn is a better team than last year. It's just that they're having. I mean, guys, to play that schedule they have this year is really tough. But I will say this: is that I was actually I was glad to see that the committee gave a little bit of a leeway to teams that are playing out of conference. You know, look at Auburn that went to Kansas State. You look at Michigan State that went over to Oregon. You know, it's good to set the tone right now because if they're not going to start getting points for playing these tough out of conference games, all these athletic directors are just going to wake up and they're not going to schedule any of these big games in the beginning of the season when there's all these big teams playing these Division II schools. So I was glad to see there's a little bit of reward there to play big non-conference teams.
Greg, that's exactly what Jason and I were talking about right before we came on the air with you. So we agree completely with you. Hey, something you are very familiar with. Talk to us a little bit about the Oregon Ducks. You know, they're sitting there at five above Alabama, and I'm a big Alabama fan, but I'll say this. I believe Oregon deserved to be ahead of Alabama at this point.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. If Oregon wins out, meaning if they win the Pac-12 championship, if they take care of Stanford this weekend, yeah, I think they're going to get in just because the SEC is going to eat their own and there's going to be spots available. So if Oregon can win out, they're going to get in. It's a matter of what Alabama decides to do against Auburn in the Iron Bowl and, of course, in the SEC championship. I mean, the team that no one's really talking about that really kind of has their own destiny. Well, first of all, the four teams that are in right now, they all hold their own destiny in. But the other team that holds their own destiny that's outside the Final Four, other than the Ducks, is the Georgia Bulldogs. And the Georgia Bulldogs actually have a pretty favorable schedule. And if they can win their SEC championship, if they get that far, I mean, they're in. So it's going to be tough It's going to be tough for me to see two SEC teams in the Final Four, although the way things happened this week, it shows me the committee is not just looking at wins and losses. They're looking at the full body of work, which is what I'm very happy to see.
Right. Greg, you kind of answered another question I had, so I'm just going to kind of change the question a little bit, but we know the top six or eight, if they win out, basically they're going to be in the top four no matter where you're ranked in that six or eight now. But if you drop down a little bit further on the board and let's say you get to Kansas State at 9, Notre Dame's 10, Georgia 11, Arizona 12, Baylor 13 even, which one of those teams, you've already said Georgia, so let's leave Georgia out of it, which one of the others do you think has the best shot at appearing in the Final Four between Kansas State, Notre Dame, Arizona, and Baylor?
Okay, well, Kansas State is going to play, to put that more simply, I think it's Notre Dame. And I'll tell you why I think it's Notre Dame. It's because they play a lot of different non-conference schools. You get a little bit of sample from everybody, right? They play a little bit of the Pac-12, a little bit of the Big Ten. They played Florida State. They played them tough down there at Florida State. So I think that Notre Dame probably has a real good case, in my opinion, if they can win out to be in the Final Four.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to agree with you on that one. Notre Dame making a good showing against Florida State, just coming up a little bit short there. So
it's not good to go against Greg in
That's right.
anything.
I'm not going to do it.
Well, again, guys, when it comes to this sort of thing, you know, it's really better than it was. You know, there's no computers telling us who's going to be in, who's going to be out. There's no that's the good news. But you know. I said this all along. There shouldn't be any rankings because all the rankings do is get in the minds of the 12 member committee guys and start to list these guys out in order. I mean, if you're going to do it right, no one should be ranked. You should just say, okay, here are the teams that are able to get in, and you should choose. But when you have an AP poll that comes out every week showing the top 10. I mean, you know, it's human nature for the human brain to go, okay, well, you know, we can't take a number 11 seed because they're number 11. So that's just my take on that situation.
I agree.
Hey, speaking of that, what was your thoughts on Marshall, undefeated and didn't even make an appearance in the top 25?
Well, I think that just goes what I'm saying with the committee as well, is that they're looking at the full body of work, looking at strength of schedule, looking at the, you know, how they're, when they do play those teams, those tough teams, how are they playing them? There's always going to be a Marshall in the group. There's always going to be a Boise State in the group, a team that plays well, undefeated, but it's in a weak conference. And you can't reward. Unfortunately, it's tough to reward teams like that into a stage of that magnitude, like the Final Four. I keep calling it the Final Four. I don't know what you guys want to call it.
Hey, that's fine with us.
Playoff.
All right, two games, Greg. Before we let you go, we want you to make our listeners some money. So let's start off with the Auburn Tigers, my team, going to Ole Miss. Auburn, a 2.5-point dog right now.
Yeah, my math model shows this right at that number. I am a little concerned. I'm confused a little bit on this game. Ole Miss coming off a loss. Typically, teams that won six or seven in a row and had their first loss are primed for a letdown spot. The problem here is, Jason, that I'm seeing that Ole Miss and Auburn, they know what they need to do now because they're both in the Final Four. So this is it. I mean, if you want to get in, that you have to win this game. You lose this game, you're out. There's two losses on that team for the team that loses, and they won't have a shot, I don't believe, in December to get in. So this is it. This is the play in. This is the keep going to play in to those Final Four positions. So both teams, I think, are going to be motivated. Again, Auburn going into a hostile environment. I guess I lean Auburn maybe a little bit just because I think the better coaching staff is on that side, but this is going to be a tough matchup for the Tigers. Hopefully they come ready to play, but this is going to be tough. This is going to be a really close game. And it really depends on what Bo does too. I mean, as you saw last week with LSU, if Wallace has a good game, things flow right. I didn't like the way Wallace was pointing fingers at people. After the game, too, it seems a little bit of a divide there, but this is going to be too close for me to call. I'm staying away from this game, but if I had to go to the cash window, I'd lean towards the Tigers.
That sounds fair enough, and I have to say, yeah, Bo Wallace last week threw everybody under the bus except his little sister. So that was pretty ugly.
Pretty ugly. Yeah.
Okay, let's go to the cocktail party and see what's going on. A team that is in desperate need of a win and probably playing one of the hottest teams in the country. Florida, a 13-point dog is what I've got them at, playing Georgia at a neutral site.
You're right, and here's a spot here where Georgia should be careful. That line has now moved to 11, which shows me that there's a reverse line movement going on with the public all over Florida, yet the line moves to 11. Florida's coming off a really bad loss to Missouri. They're coming off a bye. You know, the coach is on the chopping block to get fired, to be replaced. Be careful here. This is a spot where Georgia could slip. Obviously, they're going to get Hurley back in a couple of weeks, but this is a bad spot for Georgia. I really like Florida. I I strongly lean towards Florida in this matchup. I'll take 11.
Wow. I'm glad you told me that, because my money would have went over to the Bulldogs.
You reconsidered, huh?
Yeah, you know, the thing that concerns me a little bit, though, like, since we're talking about this, is that you know, Harris is being named the new quarterback for Florida. He's a little wet behind the ears. He has had some playing time. He's not that wet behind the ears, but it will be more pro Florida fans than it will Georgia. So that might help a little bit for Harris. So that's my little concern there with that. But I like Florida in this spot.
Sounds fair enough.
Got that right.
Ronnie, you got a game you want to throw at him, or you want me to just finish this thing off?
You can
here?
Finish it off.
Okay, Greg, anything else that we've missed here that you want to make us aware of, or something to keep an eye on that we've missed?
Yeah, you know, I'm still doing my numbers right now, but a game that's kind of got my eye a little bit is Notre Dame versus Navy. I mean, here's a spot here where Notre Dame is coming off a bye, and they're coming off a game they lost with Florida State. You know, you got wide receivers, whoever, dating porn stars right now. I mean, there's a little bit right now in South Bend. And I would be careful of Navy. Navy runs that triple threat option, runs that wishbone. This is unfamiliar territory for the new defensive coordinator for Notre Dame. He hasn't seen something like this since in the 1990s. This is a spot where Notre Dame needs to be real careful. And at plus 14, that's a good number. That's a key number. It might get to 14.5. I'm looking to make a play on this at 14.5 if we can get to there. But I may be okay with 14 too. I like Navy in this spot, but we'll see. We'll see how the numbers play out as we get closer to Saturday.
All right, one for
very interesting.
Yeah.
Notre Dame and Navy. Wow.
And there's something just about watching those two teams. I like to watch the academy, the Army, yeah. Navy, Air Force. Yeah. And when you add Notre Dame to the mix.
It isn't a neutral site. I believe it's being played in FedEx, but don't quote me on that. I know it's on a neutral site. I'm just not sure what site it is exactly. So it's not a full hometown advantage for Navy, but I do like Navy in this spot.
Okay, let me update folks on your numbers, and then I want you to tell everybody how they can get in on the action. But as of now, the games that Greg has given us here on Sports Talk Live and the games that I have gotten from him since joining, he is 18-4-1. He had a push this past weekend, 18-4-1, so you're not going to beat that anywhere.
No. Wow. I'd like to have any club that went 18-4-1.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he's doing this, folks. He's not just picking the winners. He's doing it against the Vegas line. So. Hey, Greg, if somebody is interested, how can they find out more about what you have to offer?
Just go to onlybestbets.com. And I have all sorts of packages you can sign up for to get my picks. And Jason, as you know, it just they're sent on a regular basis on email via email, and you get them every day. Or if there's a best bet every day, and keep in mind the best bets are bets that I am playing myself. So like tonight, Jason, you got Louisville. I am betting Louisville. I like Louisville at +4. I think that's a good play. So. So, again, I strongly believe in I shouldn't be giving out plays unless I'm willing to put my money where my mouth is, and that's exactly what I do. So,
good deal.
Onlybestbets.com, you can get the plays there.
And, folks, it is a simple process. Ronnie, I have dealt with some of these things before where you have to click about 6 different places, cross your eyes and your legs, and then hold one hand in the air to get the pick. But it's very simple. He sends them out in an email. So if I can do it, anybody can do it.
I hear you.
Hey, Greg, thanks for joining us, and we'll look forward to next week, and we'll be watching these games that you told us about, especially tonight, hoping that the Seminoles go down.
That's it.
All right. Well, good luck, guys, and go Tigers. I'm hoping for you. I'm praying for you.
All right, good deal. Thanks.
Hey, thanks, Greg. Have a great weekend, bud.
Okay. Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye. All right, 4:41.
That running. Cat knows his stuff.
He's got it.
He's got it going on.
Time for a break. We'll be right back with Greg, Dan Vosta. I do it even when you tell him.
Every week, I'm
trying
to mouth it to you.
Dan Vosta with Campus Insider. I get that part.
That's it.
You're listening to Sports Talk Live, 95.5 Coleman.
Scissor Salon is your full-service salon, conveniently located on Highway 278 East in Coleman. Scissors welcomes men, women, and children. Appointments and walk-ins welcome. At Scissors, it's all about you. Personal service and attention to detail. That's Scissors. Highway 278 East, Coleman. The little shop with the big scissors on the roof. Scissors, open Tuesday through Friday, 734-6006. That's Scissors.
I'm Tommy Warhurst.
And I'm Jason Caretti.
Inviting you to join us this Friday night for Friday Night Live.
Friday Night Live will showcase Coleman County's best high school football.
This week, it's senior night for the Coleman Bearcats as they host the Russellville Golden Tigers.
Airtime is 6:40 this Friday night on Live 95.
Listen live locally on Live 95 or from anywhere in the world on our Live 95 stream at live95coleman.com.
Or download the TuneIn Radio app. Search for Live 95.5 Coleman and listen on your smartphone.
Russellville at Coleman. This week on Friday Night Live, here on Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. Friday Night Live is brought to you in part by Farmers Insurance, the Warhurst Agency, Cyber Broadband, Good Hope Pharmacy, Morton Buildings, AK Rentals, Odin's Auto Glass, Scissors Salon, Fuller Optical, Alpha Agent Cynthia Phillips, Specialty Pharmacy, Joe Caretti Auto Service, and 157 Hardware.
Cyber Broadband has been providing broadband to areas generally not served by other providers. Now in its 10th year of providing service, Cyber has expanded to also offer services through Charter Communications. If you have service locally and would rather deal with a local company, Cyber Broadband can be reached at 256-734-1077. Cyber also has server co-location abilities. Visit them online at www.getcyber.net.
Michael's Flowers and Design in Coleman is your one-stop flower shop for any occasion, now carrying fine wine and craft beer. Michael's Flowers and Design is located in downtown Coleman next to Berkeley Bob's Coffee House, now also hosting special events and wine tasting. Our beautiful store is located at 302 First Avenue Southeast. We can be reached at 256-841-5553 or online at michaelsflowersanddesign.com.
So, Sylvie, what's on your mind this week?
You mean Ebola, ISIS, immigration, separation of church and state in Houston? Shall I continue?
Yeah, you left out the Alabama Speaker of the House was just indicted on 23 felony corruption charges. You know, just another day at the office for them. And then there was that crazy stock market riot a week or so ago. I guess we're going to blame that on Ebola, right?
Well, the media certainly is.
Hey, these are some of the topics that we're going to bring to your attention on our new program, This Week Live, which will be debuting just before Americans go to the polls on November the 4th.
Perhaps for the last time ever.
Oh, please.
We'll cover all of Obama's faults, one at a time, like Obamacare, broken hard drives, IRS scandals, Fifth Amendments, Fast and Furious.
You know, Obama's just the president. He's not the entire government. I don't know why you people always want to blame everything on the president.
It's Bush's fault.
There's other people involved working in the government, too, shall I say, Lois Lerner?
We'll get to all of those people, too, on This Week Live, and we'll start the discussion at 4 p.m. on November 3rd.
We'll cover all of this and more, from the city of Coleman to Coleman County in the state of Alabama, and yes, what you should be aware of from the feds as well. So join us November the 3rd at 4 p.m. when we launch This Week Live, right here on Coleman's Independent Radio. We are Live 95.
I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world.
I'm Tommy Warhurst, your Farmers Insurance agent. Protecting what you value most is my job, and I take it very seriously. Is your automobile liability enough to protect all that you've worked for? Does your homeowner's policy carry replacement cost coverage on contents? Or, if something happens to you or your spouse, could you stay in your current home? I can help you answer these questions and more at 338-3701 or thewarhurstagency.com. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your Farmers Insurance Agent.
We are farmers. Bum, ba, da, bum, 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 bum.
All right, Thursday edition of Sports Talk Live, and at this time each week, we bring Dr. Knowledge in.
Dan the man.
Dan knows as much football as anybody you're going to run into, and each week at this time he shares a little bit of it with us. Dan, welcome to the Thursday edition.
Thanks for having me in, guys, and happy Thursday.
Same to you, Dan.
Hey, Dan, are you looking forward to tonight's game, a little Louisville and Seminole action?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of people have been predicting an upset in the lurks that certainly affects the college football playoffs, and certainly some fans are cheering against Florida State. Many are anti-Noles this year. But certainly Louisville with Petrino, they've certainly come a far way from his first tenure, so certainly this is a big-time game for pretty much the national landscape.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch it. You brought up the playoff. So they released, the committee released their ratings this week for the first time ever. Mm-hmm. So what do you think? Big deal? No big deal? And did they get it right, or do you think they're way off base?
Well, certainly it's obviously a great deal, a big deal for the sport. I mean, it makes really college football, the regular season, which I think is the best regular season in America compared to any sport, college or pro. But certainly it's no big deal in terms of the actual rankings. When you're comparing it to the end of the season, there's a good chance that many of the teams in the top five and top ten might not even be there at the end of the season, at least consistently throughout the BCS standings. That was the same case. No major impact, in my opinion, but certainly the one thing that did stand out a little bit to me was the talent level that a bunch of the teams that the committee ranked, I felt like, was more so indicating the talent level in terms of the scoreboard of wins and losses, more so, I would argue, than strength of schedule. Certainly, you see a couple of teams that kind of made you scratch your head. But overall, I think it's clearly the win and losses kind of added up. And it favored the SEC, I think, in general. But certainly there's a few SEC teams that many felt were a little bit flip-flopped or reversed, if you will. But overall, it's great for the sport. And it's great to go past the BCS era now and first weekend. It's making us talk even more about the sport, and obviously the games are only beginning to really heat up, so it makes us that much more excited.
Exactly. Hey, Dan, this is Ronnie. Hope you're having a great Thursday. I got a question here. Looking at the polls, which team do you think, for lack of a better word, was punished by the rankings?
Yeah, I think three SEC teams jump right off the bat, along with Ohio State. Despite the talent level in the Buckeyes struggling with Penn State, I had them in the top 13 or top 12, and they dipped all the way down to 16th. But I think the three SEC teams that stood out to me the most was Georgia, Alabama, and LSU. I didn't think there was much of a chance LSU was going to miss out on the top 15, and here they are at number 19.
Right.
And certainly those two losses were very disappointing, but nonetheless, those two losses were to happen to be the Mississippi State, even though it was at home. They're the number one ranked team right now in the country, and Auburn, of course, number three still. So that really kind of surprised me. And Alabama, who I still think has been pretty impressive more times than not, and that neutral site win over West Virginia in the opener may only help them down the road. So I was surprised that they were six behind Oregon. I thought worst case they would have been five, but we're arguing over one spot. And then Georgia, who I've kind of been in love with for most of the season, just outside the top 10, where I still think they're a top 16, but certainly the real one loss to South Carolina, not really looking great right now. But nonetheless, nothing major, but those teams kind of stood out to me the most.
Okay. Hey, let me go off the cuff just a minute. Dan, I want to ask your opinion on something here. In this poll, this committee poll, you have Marshall, who is 8-0, one of the three teams in the country that's undefeated. They are not even ranked in the committee poll. However, they are ranked in the AP poll. Have you got any thoughts or anything about that situation?
Yeah, they're in my top 20. They've been in my top 20 for a month. The only problem is that they keep playing average, mediocre competition if you're obviously in the Conference USA. And next, you're going to get to play a 13th game, assuming they win their division and don't lose a game, for that matter. But I think that the competition increases, and the teams that are behind them are not even ranked right now. They continue to win big games like the season progresses. It's going to be tough for me to keep them in my top 20, let alone have them move up, at least. So I think they're certainly worthy of a New Year's Six bowl game if they were to run the table, but they have 0% chance to crack that top four, obviously. Obviously, it wasn't good for them to not be ranked in the first bowl. I wouldn't be surprised if they're ranked next week if they continue to win in impression fashion for the most part. But they're obviously going to need some help to even get into a New Year's Six bowl, which the committee, by the way, also selects. Certainly, you have East Carolina, which has looked very impressive, 2-1 against BCS conferences and only one loss overall for the season. And then there's a few Mountain West teams, Colorado State, Boise State, who still play a little bit better competition overall than Marshall, that may end up getting that New Year's Six bid that they automatically get for non-AQ conferences. But Marshall, certainly, if they can go 13-0, they have a chance to beat it in the year to play in a New Year's Day bowl game against a potential SEC or Notre Dame-like team on New Year's Day, which would be a special moment.
Great. Hey, thanks, Dan. Appreciate that.
Dan, yep. Looking at the poll, the way they've got them ranked now, let's say the top four or five, who has the easiest path or the best chance to remain in the current top four or five? And let's not count Florida State, because if they
pretty
get
obvious
by tonight,
they do,
yeah, if they get by tonight, it's basically a cakewalk. So.
Yeah. Outside of Florida State, I'd agree with that. If they could win tonight, certainly if you put them aside. I would go with Alabama and Georgia. It could be crazy. We might see them match up in Atlanta like the classic we saw just two seasons ago. But even if old Alabama doesn't get much tiebreaker luck, if you will, if they were to lose to Ole Miss and with a one loss, of course, they're already losing to them, they wouldn't get that tiebreaker. But potentially Alabama is going to be pretty big favorites for the rest of the season outside of next week's game on the road at LSU. But they should be touchdown favorites, in my opinion, next week. And then you're looking down the road at home against Mississippi State, they'll likely be favored by at least a touchdown as well, and that could potentially still be the number one team in the country with the Bulldogs. But I think Alabama, pretty solid favorites the rest of the way, and obviously you didn't want to mention that Iron Bowl as well, but they get them, Auburn that is, at home, Alabama does. And then Georgia, you're looking at Todd Gurley's putting out two more games, but I think the Georgia Bulldogs are pretty heavy favorites for me to go 11-1. The only tough game that could almost be a pick-em, if you will be their home contest against Auburn, but luckily and fortunately for the Bulldogs of Georgia, that is, they get Todd Gurley back for that game, and he's been resting up and healthy, and you know he'll be foaming at the mouth to prove the nation wrong and some scouts wrong about maybe some issues he's had off the field. He's going to prove to America that he's arguably the best player on the field.
All right, let's flip-flop now and tell me who has the toughest road to stay in the current top 10.
Yeah, I think there's a couple teams that are both in the SEC West, and obviously you just look at this first week ranking, and certainly the SEC is dominated, but I would go with Mississippi State, closely followed by Auburn, but I'll start with the Bulldogs first, and that's just because they have to go on the road in what likely could be a night game. I know that has not been announced officially. It might be the week or two before that game in early November that will be announced, but going to Tuscaloosa against arguably one of the top three or four defenses in the country still. And it's going to be tough to see if Dak Prescott and that team can stay healthy. They've got some luck for the most part. They're arguably the best team in the country in the trenches, and it's been very impressive to see them. They've been the special team that really the storyline of the year. But again, the year, it's really impossible almost. And we see it happen every few years, but to win the gauntlet, run the table in the SEC West, let alone in the East, is very difficult. So I think we're still going to see them slip up potentially, and they still have the Egg Bowl as well. And even this weekend's match against Arkansas at home may not be a cupcake game by any means. So them, and then, of course, Auburn, which I think from the get-go has had the toughest stretch in college football of any team in the country. They have to play, in my opinion, guys, the three best teams in college football, not named Florida State, and that's Georgia on the road, Alabama on the road, and of course, it doesn't help that they have Ole Miss this weekend on the road as well. So you're looking at three of the best teams in terms of NFL talent, defensive talent. Really, you can break it down any way, but I think the three teams, Auburn, they got to play on the road, arguably the three best teams in football, so That's not good news for Auburn, but the good news, they do have top five talent, so they have a chance to win a couple of those games, potentially all of them, if they can catch a few breaks and stay healthy. But Mississippi State and Auburn, just abysmal slates in terms of the competition.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Hey, got another question here for you. Talking about the committee's first polls that came out, and I think you kind of already alluded to this. Sure. What do you think the impact was as far as the strength of schedule, one of those criteria that they're supposed to go by?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it didn't look like they really dove too highly into strength of schedule. It's not supposed to be a major factor, is what they're saying, but clearly I was not, shocked by any means, but certainly they didn't punish teams for losing to, recently. So losing in the polls, what that means is if Ole Miss loses like they did last week, they're going to drop almost outside the top 10, which they almost did. But yet the committee ranked Ole Miss fourth because they valued that win at home against Alabama as maybe the best win in college football this season. So certainly, and you look at Ole Miss, they've been arguably the best defense in college football, even with the recent loss to LSU where they struggled at times to slow down the run game. But if it weren't for their defense, Ole Miss may, not score that game. They might have gotten embarrassed, but that defense is always with the Rebels. So I think you look at a few other teams like Alabama, while they didn't get a great ranking, you look at the majority of the SEC teams, the talent level wins out. And I think I'm comparing that to Notre Dame, which got a kind of a bad rap for losing close to Florida State, but they really haven't beaten anybody, and they've proven that their premier talent's really come a long way because it's unfortunate that they haven't played anybody. So I think strength of schedule is a little bit of a factor. But at the end of the day, I think that eye test, certainly at the end of the day, is what we want, the four best teams. And I think they're looking at the best teams in terms of eye test, and I think majority of SEC teams have passed that. So that's what they're really looking at for me.
Okay. One more question from me, Dan. The biggest game in November, what's it going to be?
Yeah, pick your poison. I got six SEC games that I am just ready to go for. I think you could really rank them however you want, but Bama LSU is one that stands out to me for next week, and certainly Auburn Ole Miss this week is going to be a good one. But my top four from worst to first, if you will, in surprising fashion, I'm going to actually rank the Iron Bowl fourth most important, just because I think there's
Dan.
Yeah, I know you guys don't want to hear that. But nonetheless, they've been the two best programs in college football the last 3-5 years, so you always got that in your back pocket. They're just happening to be the two best teams in college football. That's 5 years, so no big deal there. But this year, I'm going to go the Egg Bowl a little bit over that. And then Auburn and Georgia, I think, could be the bigger game just because Todd Gurley comes back. Auburn, potentially, if they beat Ole Miss this weekend, would be in the top five. And Georgia could be as well if they were to ascend the rankings after that game or going into that game even. And then I think the biggest November game, to answer your question, would be Mississippi State at Alabama. You're looking at Dak Prescott, his Heisman moment potentially, if he can win in Tuscaloosa. What could be in a night game would probably be the biggest game, obviously, in Mississippi State history, at least in the last few decades. And obviously, Alabama at home, fairly unbeatable. We've seen them struggle against dual-threat quarterbacks. That's exactly what Dak Prescott is. I think you look at potentially a number one versus number three or four Alabama team if they continue to win. That game just is about as awesome as it gets. In terms of in the trenches, grown man football, I'm not sure there's really a better, bigger game in the month of November, at least, and I'm looking forward to that one.
Okay, boy, you took us by surprise when you put the Iron Bowl down at number four. I mean, we put the Iron Bowl ahead of children's birth.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
Hey, a couple of games, I want to see how you're leaning on these. Auburn at Ole Miss, and I think Auburn a two-and-a-half-point dog now, and then, of course, tonight, Louisville, Florida State. How do you lean on these games?
Yeah, I think the Ole Miss-Auburn game is going to be a classic down to the wire. I think we're going to see a bit more points than we saw in the Ole Miss-LSU game. It's going to be closer to the Auburn-South Carolina game we saw this weekend. I've been in love with the Auburn Tigers' talent level. I think Duke Williams is arguably the best junior college transfer in America, could be a potential first-round draft pick whenever he decides to declare for the NFL draft. But I'm just leaning with Ole Miss at home. I'm still going with the Rebels at home, but it's going to be a back-and-forth game, obviously. Flip a coin if you want, but I'm going to go Ole Miss 31, Auburn 24. But glad to come back on next week and tell you why Auburn, with the top five talent that I allude to, I'm still kind of picking against them. So I did pick against them last year, like most of America, and that worked out pretty well for them. So you do have that going for you. But at the end of the day, I think Nick Marshall against Bo Walsh. I like Auburn in that type of matchup in terms of the passing game. But I think up front in the trenches, I'm really worried about Auburn slowing down Ole Miss's speed on the outside. I think Ole Miss has lots of ball hawks in the secondary, should match up with Auburn's NFL wide receivers. So I'm going to lean slightly with the Rebels at home. And then for tonight, I will go with Florida State on the road at Louisville. Surprisingly, the experts in the desert have this one by about a field goal. But I'm going to go Florida State by about 10 points. I think it's the some points putting on the board tonight. I'm going to go with the Noles 34-24. I think we see Jameis Winston kind of carry this team on his back, and their defense rises to the occasion against a Louisville team that's borderline top 25, of course, in the committee rankings. But for most people out there in SEC cards, we don't have too much respect for, and I have no problem with that because Louisville, a solid 8-9 win team in the ACC, certainly had a tough loss early in the year at Virginia. Not the most talented team, but their defense and the stats, at least, who they played against, they've been very dominant, Louisville has. So don't be shocked if Florida State struggles early on, but I think in the second half, they'll open the reins up.
It sounds like a good one. We talked to Greg Smith. He comes on just before you do each week. He's a handicapper from out in California, and he is pretty much with you on the Auburn-Ole Miss game, really just basically flip a coin. He gave a slight lean to Auburn. So it's going to, like you said, probably go down to the wire. But, Dan, last week, did you see the Auburn-South Carolina game?
I did.
Have you ever seen a pass defense that bad? I mean, me and Ronnie, I am 49 years old, and I promise you, I could get open in the Auburn secondary.
Yep, it truly is amazing. And Auburn certainly misses, I think, Carl Lawson. Their biggest issue for me has been their pass rush. So if they can get the pass rush going a little bit, they could beat anybody in America. But when you're pretty much playing two-hand touch in the backfield with no pressure, the quarterback gets all day to throw, and you and me can maybe get open for one catch before we get buried over the middle. But that's going to be the key, I think, for this Ole Miss game. If Bo Wallace has time, you can find Treadwell and Ingram and their star players, but it should be a great game.
I agree with you, Dan, especially just what you said prior to that was the fact that you have to get pressure on the quarterback. No matter how good your secondary is, your corners and your safeties, you have got to get some pressure. You cannot cover somebody for, 8, 9, 10 seconds, or, it's just impossible for a defensive back to do that.
Yeah, I mean, after the quarterback position, I'd argue defensive end's one of the more important positions because with the spread now, you don't really have too many linebackers on the field, so your nose tackles obviously aren't going to be rushing the passer, more so stuffing the run. So you got to have an outside rush edger, so if you can't rush the passer, you're going to be in trouble, and Auburn's been in trouble defensively at times, but luckily their offense, top five in America, has been able to bail them out. But going against what many people feel is the best defense in the country, Ole Miss, I think this is a primetime matchup, one of my top 10 games of the season going in, and I think it's going to live up to that.
All right. Well, I know you're ready to maybe hit the road and get ready for some football tonight, and especially this weekend as we see what happens with the elimination game, Auburn and Ole Miss. And, Dan, I hope you have yourself a great one, and hope you come out on top, whoever you pick.
You got it. Thanks for having me on, as always, guys. We look forward to talking about more big games and the rankings next week.
That's it. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
Have a great one, guys. Enjoy the game.
Okay.
The Book of Knowledge.
That's it. Dr. Knowledge.
Dr. Knowledge. Making a house call.
Ronnie, we're going to take a break. Come back with Moolah. People's Bank brings us Moolah. We got to get two clues in before the show is over.
Sweet.
We'll be right back. Sports Talk Live, 95.5, Coleman.
You're listening to Live 95 WRJM LP Coleman.
Mm-hmm. I'm Tommy Warhurst.
And I'm Jason Coretti,
inviting you to join us this Friday night for Friday Night Live.
Friday Night Live will showcase Coleman County's best high school football.
This week, it's senior night for the Coleman Bearcats as they host the Russellville Golden Tigers.
Airtime is 6:40 this Friday night on Live 95.
Listen live locally on Live 95 or from anywhere in the world on our Live 95 stream at live95coleman.com.
Or download the TuneIn Radio app. Search for Live 95.5 Coleman and listen on your smartphone.
Russellville at Coleman.
This week on Friday Night Live, here on Live 95, Coleman's independent radio.
Friday Night Live is brought to you in part by Farmers Insurance, the Warhurst Agency, Cyber Broadband, Good Hope Pharmacy, Morton Buildings, AK Rentals, Odin's Auto Glass, Scissors Salon, Fuller Optical, Alpha Agent Cynthia Phillips, Specialty Pharmacy, Joe Coretti Auto Service, and 157 Hardware.
You're listening to Live 95 WRJM LP Coleman.
Cyber Broadband has been providing broadband to areas generally not served by other providers. Now in its 10th year of providing service, Cyber has expanded to also offer services through Charter Communications. If you have service locally and would rather deal with a local company, Cyber Broadband can be reached at 256-734-1077. Cyber also has server co-location abilities. Visit them online at www.getcyber.net.
I'm Tommy Warhurst.
And I'm Jason Coretti.
Inviting you to join us this Friday night for Friday Night Live. Friday Night Live will showcase Coleman County's best high school football.
This week, it's senior night for the Coleman Bearcats as they host the Russellville Golden Tigers.
Airtime is 6:40 this Friday night on Live 95.
Listen live locally on Live 95 or from anywhere in the world on our Live 95 stream at live95coleman.com.
Or download the TuneIn Radio app. Search for Live 95.5 Coleman and listen on your smartphone.
Russellville at Coleman.
This week on Friday Night Live, here on Live 95, Coleman's independent radio.
Friday Night Live is brought to you in part by Farmers Insurance, the Warhurst Agency, Cyber Broadband, Good Hope Pharmacy, Morton Buildings, AK Rentals, Odin's Auto Glass, Scissors Salon, Fuller Optical, Alpha Agent Cynthia Phillips, Specialty Pharmacy, Joe Coretti Auto Service, and 157 Hardware.
Planning for a new building can be exciting and at times a little stressful. Take the stress out of your construction project and enjoy the experience of constructing a custom Morton building. From planning your new building to watching it take shape, Morton will be with you every step of the way to build your new garage, riding area, horse barn, hobby shop, or machine storage building. Best of all, Morton stands behind every building with the strongest non-prorated, non-pass-through warranty in the industry. Don't wait to get started on your project. Morton is located in Garden City and can be reached at 256-352-0406 or online at www.mortonbuildings.com. Odin's Auto Glass offers professional and reliable service. With over 30 years of experience, Odin's Auto Glass guarantees your satisfaction. From auto and truck glass to the glass in your big rig, Odin's Auto Glass has you covered. Odin's Auto Glass welcomes insurance claims and is an authorized Safe Life Auto Glass installer. Odin's Auto Glass is located on Highway 31 in Coleman, just north of Highway 157. 734-2800. It's Odin's Auto Glass.
Those pesky mute buttons, they get in the way all the time.
Yeah. Me and Ronnie don't have that problem.
No, we don't.
I just took your mic off.
There you go.
All right.
Little OJs, baby.
The sound of money means it's time for People's Bank. Where's Moolah? And Moolah being the spotted cow that you see out everywhere.
That's right. She's out of the pasture.
And for those of you who might be just dropping in for the first time, let's explain the game, Ronnie. We, in our mind, hide Moolah somewhere in the state of Alabama.
That's right.
And we give clues, two, sometimes three, most of the time two clues per show. you're welcome to call in anytime during the show. Take a guess at where Moolah is, limited to one guess per show, and one win every 30 days.
That's so, it.
And usually that's not a problem, except for one or two people we have. And,
yeah.
Not going to call any names, but Cindy Wilson is her initials, has won like six or seven times.
And so. She wants us to physically hide it so she can go out and find it.
Right.
She's the only one that's ever found. No, there was one other one, wasn't there?
Yeah,
found
had
it.
One other one, and we'll do that sometime.
Yeah, so we're going to give out the Jason's going to give the clue, and if you know where you think it may be, give us a call, 737-9951. Take a shot at it. Doesn't matter if you miss it. Makes no difference.
All right. Today, clue number one for where is Moolah. If you are going to eat, you may want to stop and smell the roses. If you're going to eat, you may want to stop and smell the roses. And, Ronnie, remind everybody, because, folks, to be honest, I basically do not know where Moolah is. Ronnie, come up with a location.
Yes.
And I will tell you, it is
He doesn't know. Honestly, Jason doesn't even know where this place exists. But the first clue, if I remember correctly, the sum of the highway was 9. That's the sum of the highway.
I remember that one.
And the second clue...
The second clue, I don't remember the second clue, but I'll
think of it in a few minutes.
And today's clue, you may want to, if you're going to eat, you may want to stop and smell the roses, and we'll think of the next.
Oh, I know what it was. If you're looking for Moolah, be careful, you might drop off the mountain.
Yep, that was it.
You may drop off
the mountain. So
that's it.
I don't know if that'll do any of you any good or not, but that is the clue.
Well, we'll just keep giving clues till we basically, you know.
Till we take somebody there.
That's right. We'll take them up there and get something to eat. Great place to eat.
Right. Ronnie, what we got on the high school agenda for this week?
High school games this week. We all know this is the end of the regular season. I'll throw this out before we do our picks. We've got Vimont who will be in the playoffs, and they are playing Lauderdale County. And West Point will be traveling to Parker and playing the Thundering Herd in Birmingham. And Cold Springs is in the playoffs, but I don't think they know who they're going to be playing yet or how they're going to end up seed-wise until Friday night's game is over, and that happens sometimes.
Now, where will Jason and Tommy be Friday night?
Friday night they will be at Coleman versus Russellville is where they will be. That will be kicked off at 6:40, and again, for all the home teams, that is senior night, so if you're looking for a night to go out and watch football and recognize those kids that are seniors, whether in most schools, they'll do football players and band members and cheerleaders, and some even do volleyball. We did at Vimont. So if you want to go recognize or, you know, show your appreciation for those high school seniors that have played athletics this year, then tonight or Friday night will be a great night to go, unless you are going to watch Fairview and Vimont and you need to go tonight.
That's
because
right.
Because they are playing tonight.
That is right, because of the Fairview
stadium
field
issue.
Being
condemned.
Yeah,
exactly. So here are the games for this weekend. We'll do our picks. We have Good Hope. We'll be at home with Hanceville.
Ronnie, Hanceville got a win against Holly Pond the other night, and things they played close last week.
Had a heartbreaker last week. Got beat 15-14.
Things seem to be going the Bulldogs' way, and for that reason, I'm going to pick Good Hope.
You're picking Good Hope. Well, I'm going to go along with you. I'm picking Good Hope as well. We've got Holly Pond is at home against Cold Springs.
Holly Pond playing at home.
Yeah.
Holly Pond has not had a victory this entire year or last year.
Yeah.
Okay, Cold Springs has already secured their place in the playoffs. So, as the guys would say, Greg and Dan, maybe a letdown game for Cold Springs.
Maybe.
And for that reason, I'm going out on a limb and I'm going to take Cold Springs.
Boy, you are a gambling man, I tell you. You just amaze me how you just.
How do you like how I come up with
it? Oh, absolutely. It's remarkable.
most people couldn't get to that decision the way I do.
No, no, because most people don't think like you do. All right, Vimont is at home against the Fairview Aggies tonight.
All right, Vimont and Fairview. Ooh, Ronnie. Fairview, a bigger school, a lot more kids to put in the pile, and for no other reason.
And they got a big
win
last week. They beat Butler.
Yeah, they
33-0.
Okay, you may have changed my mind. And for that reason, I'm going to pick Vimont.
And for that reason, you're going to pick Vimont. Well, I also am picking Vimont. So we'll see how that turns out.
Well, we're agreeing right now.
I know
we're
going to have to disagree here before long. West Point is at home against Priceville.
And Priceville, the black and gold, right?
That's right.
West Point, maroon, and since West Point is maroon,
yeah,
I'm going with the Warriors.
You're going with the Warriors, okay. Well, I don't know if it's for the same reason, but I'm going with the Warriors, too. And then last, but certainly not least, Coleman Bearcats will be playing Russellville Friday night at home. Coleman at home against Russellville.
Playing at home will give Coleman a advantage. Okay, Coleman needing to finish the year out with a win.
Yeah.
I know nothing
about Russellville.
Nothing other than
they
where
beat West Point, I think, or did West Point beat them in a very close game?
I don't know.
Oh gosh, I can't remember. I can look it up.
Since I know nothing about Russellville, I'm going to
you're going to pick Russellville. That kind of goes with all your picks today, doesn't it? Well, I'm going to go the opposite way. I think Coleman's going to end it on a positive note, kind of maybe a springboard into next season and back into the playoffs.
So I hope you're right.
I'm taking the Coleman Bearcats.
I'll give up that pick for you to be right, Ronnie. All right. Speaking of Coleman, we have a interview.
Coach Britton.
Coach Britton, Coleman Bearcats. I think it's going to be about 8 minutes long. We'll listen to that, and then after that, we'll have
Rex Chambers giving us a local fishing report.
Mr. Smith Lake. Okay, Jay, take us away.
Mark Britton, head coach of the Coleman Bearcats, joins us now. First of all, Coach, thanks for taking time to visit with us.
Yes, sir.
It's kind of hard to believe that we're sitting here going in week 9 or week 10 of the season based on how many games some teams have played. And it's kind of been a blur in a sense. We go week in and week out preparing for each week's game, and we may not take a lot of time to reflect on the season. But I'd like to get you to do that, if you don't mind. Just kind of reflect back on where we are to this point, your coaching staff, your players, guys who have stepped up into roles and done what you want them to do, or just kind of brag on some of the guys and getting us to the point we are in the season.
Well, our seniors have shown great leadership. I think the growth of our young quarterback, Ross Crocker, has been really good. I've been happy with that. With a young team, you kind of have a roller coaster type season. You have ups and downs, and we've certainly had that this year. But overall, I think we've made a lot of progress. We're in probably one of the toughest 6A regions in the state. My hat's off to my coaching staff. A great group of young men that have been very dedicated, really worked. And a lot of times when you have young guys, you can put them in a great position, and for one reason or another, they just don't make the play. And that's where experience comes in, and we've just got to be patient. And we're in with an extremely competitive region again. And, I've just been proud of our kids. We knew it was going to be kind of a trying year as far as wins and losses. But as far as the progress from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, I think we've made great progress on both sides of the ball.
And we kind of knew making the jump to 6A, and you had commented a few times already the season that, you've got to bring your A game week in and week out, where in years past you make it have a down week. And has the jump to 6A, has it been about what you expected it to be, competition level, or probably a little more?
Yeah, probably a little bit more. I think that, one of the things that we had in 5A maybe an advantage was a depth advantage, and in the 6A level we don't have that. You need to make sure that kids know their assignments, and one of the things you cannot prevent injuries. And right now our developmental stage, we've got a lot of young kids, but our underclassmen, we're working them extremely hard trying to get them where we think they need to be. for next year and the year after that, just whether they're in a backup role, maybe a key backup or a starter. So it's been a major year all the way from top to bottom, grades 9 through 12, and the kids have put in a lot of work. The coaches have put in a tremendous amount of work, and we hope that kind of thing pays off for the years to come.
Well, and you're exactly right. It's about building programs, and you and your staff have done an excellent job of that year in and year out at Coleman. And senior night for the Bearcats, the last regular season game, the last game of 2014, and you've got 16 seniors who I know have been special to you. They've been a part of 46 football games, 7 of those games playoff games, 2 trips to the second round of the playoffs, 1 quarterfinal appearance, and in 4 years these guys have put together a 65% winning percentage for you at 30-16. Talk about this special senior class.
Well, they're just a really special group for me. They they're hard workers and good leaders for us, and we wish we'd have made the playoffs this year. It just wasn't meant to be, but those guys provided great leadership for us, and we'd really like to send them out with a big win tonight.
The Russellville Golden Tigers come in, and they're a familiar opponent from the Bearcats days in Class 5A. They've got a new coach in Mark Heaton, and he's got the Golden Tigers at 8-1. They still continue to have an explosive offense led by their sophomore quarterback, number 17. They've got an outstanding running back who's a junior that wears number 1, and also a big wide receiver wears number 17 for them. Your thoughts on the Russellville Golden Tigers?
Well, Coach Heaton and his staff have done an outstanding job, as you mentioned, and these young men, quarterback, receiver, running back, they've put up a number of points throughout the year. Right now, we've been struggling on the offensive side of the ball, trying to get some field position and move the chains, and we worked pretty hard this week trying to solve some of those problems. We got some injury situations, but no excuses, really. We've got to go to work and do a better job taking care of the football and taking care of our assignments. So our defense is going to have their hands full tonight trying to slow that offense down. And then on the flip side, we've got a major task trying to score some points against a very talented defense there for us.
You mentioned the injuries, Coach, and that was something I wanted to ask you about, too. Ross Crocker left the game last week with an injury and did not return. How is your sophomore quarterback, and how is the rest of the team?
Well, Ross has got a concussion, so he will not be able to play tonight. And so we're not going to have our starting quarterback. That's never good. But we have a couple other injuries also. It's pretty significant on starters. I think my safety is not going to be able to play. Chase Slocum. Chase suffered a hit right near the end of the game last Friday night, and he did finish the game, but has suffered some effects from that hit. And as a precautionary measure, we're going to keep him out tonight.
Coach, when it comes down to ending the season on a big note, that's what you want. That's what you want for the team, and what the players want. What do the Bearcats have to do to close out 2014 with a big win?
Well, we as mentioned earlier, we've got to do a good job on the offensive side of the ball and move the chains. You're not going to have your starting quarterback, so we expect some issues, timing issues, and hopefully not problems on the exchange issue, handoffs, those type of things. But we've had those this week. That's a concern of mine going into the ball game. Defensively, you're almost without your quarterback on defense with Chase Slocum. He sets up the secondary for us. So very difficult situation to overcome right there. But everybody's going to have to do a little extra. And, that's part of this game. Unfortunately, injuries are a part of it. And we need to find a way to overcome that. And, we hope the leadership that's displayed Friday night is just going to overcome some of these things. And you got a great football program in Russellville. They're 8-1, and I think their only loss is to East Limestone, who is their area champion over there. So we've got a major hill to climb. But I think if everybody will do their job, we'll put a pretty good game plan together.
Maybe so. Maybe they'll pull it out, Coach. Best of luck tonight. Thank you for your time.
All right, I appreciate it. Have a good evening.
Happy Halloween from Coleman's independent radio station, Live 95.
Scissors Salon is your full-service salon, conveniently located on Highway 278 East in Coleman. Scissors welcomes men, women, and children. Appointments and walk-ins welcome. At Scissors, it's all about you. Personal service and attention to detail. That's Scissors. Highway 278 East, Coleman. The little shop with the big scissors on the roof. Scissors, open Tuesday through Friday, 734-6006. That's Scissors.
I'm Tommy Warhurst.
And I'm Jason Coretti.
Inviting you to join us this Friday night for Friday Night Live.
Friday Night Live will showcase Coleman County's best high school football.
This week, it's senior night for the Coleman Bearcats as they host the Russellville Golden Tigers.
Airtime is 6:40 this Friday night on Live 95.
Listen live locally on Live 95 or from anywhere in the world on our Live 95 stream at live95coleman.com.
Or download the TuneIn Radio app. Search for Live 95.5 Coleman and listen on your smartphone.
Russellville at Coleman.
This week on Friday Night Live, here on Live 95, Coleman's independent radio.
Friday Night Live is brought to you in part by Farmers Insurance, the Warhurst Agency, Cyber Broadband, Good Hope Pharmacy, Morton Buildings, AK Rentals, Odin's Auto Glass, Scissors Salon, Fuller Optical, Alpha Agent Cynthia Phillips, Specialty Pharmacy, Joe Coretti Auto Service, and 157 Hardware.
If you're looking to make your building dream a reality, now is a great time to talk to your Morton Building sales consultant. Morton Buildings is a company that has been serving its customers for well over 100 years. From the first meeting with your sales consultant to the delivery and the construction, every aspect of the building process is handled by Morton. Morton Buildings constructs everything from hobby shops and suburban garages to farm storage buildings, even horse barns. With Morton, you get the building that you need and the quality and customer service the company is known for. You can make your dream come true. Available at Morton Buildings, 256-352-0406 in Garden City, or visit their website at mortonbuildings.com.
It's football season, and good vision is a must for the referee and for the rest of us. For over 35 years, Dr. Wayne Fuller has been serving Coleman and the surrounding area. At Fuller Optical, we are more than happy to assist you with all of your vision needs. We're located in the heart of downtown Coleman, just south of the Catholic Church. We can be reached online at fulleroptical.com or 256-734-1121. 734-1121. If you like us on Facebook or mention our ad, you can get 10% off designer frames. That's Fuller Optical in the heart of downtown Coleman, just south of the Catholic Church.
So, Sylvie, what's on your mind this week?
You mean Ebola, ISIS, immigration, separation of church and state in Houston? Shall I continue?
Yeah, you left out the Alabama Speaker of the House was just indicted on 23 felony corruption charges. You know, just another day at the office for them. And then there was that crazy stock market ride a week or so ago. I guess we're going to blame that on Ebola, right?
Well, the media certainly is.
Hey, these are some of the topics we're going to bring to your attention on our new program, This Week Live, which will be debuting just before Americans go to the polls on November the 4th.
Perhaps for the last time ever.
Oh, please.
We'll cover all of Obama's faults, one at a time, like Obamacare, broken hard drives, IRS scandals, Fifth Amendments, Fast and Furious.
You know, Obama's just the president. He's not the entire government. I don't know why you people always want to blame everything on the president.
It's Bush's fault.
There's other people involved working in the government, too, shall I say, Lois Lerner.
We'll get to all of those people, too, on This Week Live, and we'll start the discussion at 4 p.m. on November 3rd.
We'll cover all of this and more from the city of Coleman to Coleman County in the state of Alabama. And yes, what you should be aware of from the feds as well. So join us November the 3rd at 4 p.m. when we launch This Week Live right here on Coleman's Independent Radio. We are Live 95.
I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world.
If you're looking to make your building dream a reality, now is a great time to talk to your Morton Building sales consultant. Morton Buildings is a company that has been serving its customers for well over 100 years. From the first meeting with your sales consultant to the delivery and the construction, every aspect of the building process is handled by Morton. Morton Buildings constructs everything from hobby shops and suburban garages to farm storage buildings, even horse barns. With Morton, you get the building that you need and the quality and customer service the company is known for. You can make your dream come true. Available at Morton Buildings, 256-352-0406 in Garden City, or visit their website at mortonbuildings.com.
Hey, welcome back. Sports Talk Live. It's 5:31 on a Thursday afternoon, which means it is always time for Rex Chambers, our local fishing pro, giving us some reports on the area lakes, what's going on, what he may be catching them on. So, Rex, are you there, bud? Hey, we can talk football all you want to. I figured you was going to come in with a big war eagle.
Hey, it's going to be a big weekend.
Oh, all right, who you taking, Rex?
Oh, Auburn by 9. What are you talking about?
Auburn by 9. Now, that's a man with a lot of confidence please. Right there.
At least.
Jason over here screaming war eagle. Hey, I hope you're right.
Seriously, I don't. Even though it's an away game,
yeah.
I don't see a problem with it.
I think
bad bowls show up.
That's right, and he is very prone to do that. So he might as well make it 2 weeks in a row. I think Auburn's a better football team. You know,
they are.
I don't think to me there's no question. And you know, like we talked about earlier, at this time of the year, every game is playoff.
Yeah, it's winner stay home.
That's
pretty much right there.
That's exactly right. So, hey, Rex, talking about winner stay home, we're talking about the weather is getting a little bit cooler. Do we need to put our boat up, or do we need to hit the road and get to the lakes?
I always kind of bum puzzled me just a little bit about people winterizing boats. Do we put boats up?
Yeah, I don't now, but I know a lot of people that do.
I don't either. I can truthfully say, doing a lot of years, I've never winterized one, so I wouldn't have an idea where to start.
Where even to start? That's well, you keep your motor hot; it wouldn't have a chance to freeze up.
This weather, this cooling off period is the one thing I think maybe we've been needing, because fish has been off a pretty good bit the last few weeks. So
right,
maybe this cool snap and it staying cool maybe what we need.
Yeah, isn't it supposed to be down close to freezing maybe tomorrow night or Saturday night?
Maybe a possible frost Sunday morning. So, yeah, cool weather's probably here to stay for a while.
Right. What will that, if it gets down to, say, freezing and we have a frost, how much do you think that would change the water temperature?
I don't know that it's going to change it a whole lot, because you know, we still have really good sun during the day, so.
Right.
Once these days get a little shorter, now that's going to change things too. But right now, the bite's gotten better than it was 2 weeks ago. So the frog bite on Tennessee River is getting really good. Lots of numbers being caught. So once the water does cool off, I mean, this cold weather's going to cool the water off. I mean, it's just that time of year. It's going to happen. But it's not going to change the bite for the worse. If anything, it's going to help it.
I see. So with this cool snap that's coming, like we said earlier, maybe getting down to freezing, it's not going to, you know, the fish are not going to move from one location to the next or just stack up, or are they basically going to be doing the same
thing?
They're
migrating now to their fall feeding places to feed up for the winter, and they're behind. This time the last 3 years, people, especially on the river, we're really catching a lot of fish at the transition periods, at the bridges and the causeways, and catching these fish heading up into the creeks, but
right.
that hadn't happened yet. So it's got to happen, you know, here soon.
Yeah. So we're you would say we're a few weeks behind where we normally are this time.
Well, we are. We're at least 3 weeks behind where we have been the last 3 years.
Any idea why, or it's just it is what it is.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
It just happens sometimes. It's not because of water. The water temps are about the same as they were last year. I think when you're on the river, as far as Gunnersville and Wheeler and all that goes, I think it has a lot to do with the way the grass grew during the summer.
Uh-huh.
And we did have a late grass. The grass really started growing fast about, you know, end of
end of August, first of September. So
right. Now, kind of change the subject in one degree, I've got a buddy of mine who lives up at Scottsboro area close to Jones's Cove, and he said they have been spraying and killing the milfoil up that way.
They do. I couldn't tell you what it is. There's a website that they actually tell you where they're going to be spraying and the days they're going to be spraying it.
Okay.
And what they're spraying, though, is it's not going to be like, you know, back in the late 90s, I guess, when they killed the grass, when they just sprayed the whole entire lake. It's not like that. They're more or less doing the boat docks, the shallow creeks, homeowners, around the homeowners' places is where they're pretty much doing the spraying. So all your main lake grass and your real high concentration of grasses like that around mountain lakes and goose pond, all that's going to be left alone.
Okay. I just want to throw that in case there was, you know, some folks out there heard that they were spraying, they were killing it, and they might not, you know, may plan not to go fishing. It's not going to affect, you know, probably where you want to fish.
The one thing that spraying affects is where they sprayed at. It does run the fish off for a while that grass is dying.
Uh-huh.
The one, and most people know this, if you're in an area and you see a piece of paper stapled to the side of a boat dock, it'll have the date that area was sprayed. And so if you're there within a week of the spraying, you can probably just move on. Anything after a week, you can probably still catch a few fish around.
Right. So they'll leave, and then they'll come back to it. They'll come back to it.
It takes a long time for that grass to actually die.
Uh huh.
And so while that grass is dying, it's still an ambush point for the bass. So it still holds bait fish, and they'll still be in there. They're not going to be in there as good as they were before it got sprayed.
Right.
Don't get me wrong, but you can still catch a few fish out of it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, what about, Rex, what about what we can still catch fish on? Is the topwater bite? I know we talked before, and, you know, throwing a Czar Spook you'd mentioned down at Smith. Can you still catch some fish that way, or do you need to look at something else?
You can. It actually, it's, you know, we had a really good couple of weeks on topwater. It's actually slowed down a little bit now, but it will pick back up once this cold weather gets stabilized. And until it just gets really cold, the topwater bite will be there. And we're talking probably, you know, late November. But and it's the same on Gunnersville. The topwater bite's still good. People are catching fish like crazy on frogs, on the mats.
Right.
We struggled last weekend and during the, I think it was the gambler tournament, those single bait tournaments.
Right.
We kind of despise. Sometimes they're fun to see what people can do when they're limited. And apparently I wasn't very good, so I didn't do very well when I was limited. But went back out on Sunday, and we probably had 30 to 40 blow-ups on a frog. And
oh, my goodness.
I'm not a big frog fisherman, not a big frog fan, but even when you're not catching them, it's fun for them to blow up on them.
Right, right.
Especially if you get some big ones that are just knocking it 3 foot in the air instead of eating it. So, we did catch a lot of good fish around the mid-lake area, so right now, if I was out on Gunnersville, I'd be throwing a frog all day.
I got you. There's still a lot of people out fishing, I would assume.
Oh, yeah. Of course, you know, you got bow season's opened up, so it's kind of cut down a little bit on the weekend traffic. Well, I've only got 2 weeks till gun season opens up for deer, so that'll even cut some more. I love hunting season.
Right.
Keeps everybody off my leg.
There you go. Absolutely. Well, hey, Rex, are there any tournaments going on, you know, any time the next, say, the next week or so?
Nothing major.
Nothing major?
I think there's a tournament on the 14th and 15th on Gunnersville out of State Park. $150 entry fee.
Okay.
It's a two-day deal.
Okay.
And other than that, you got the local Wildcat on Smith Lake out of the dam every Saturday.
Okay, every Saturday.
It started a couple of weeks ago, and they're fishing every Saturday out of the dam.
What's the time on that?
It's daylight till 3 o'clock, and I think it's $30 or $35 a boat.
Okay, and that's every Saturday if these guys just want to go, you know, don't have to tie up much money.
And there's also one on Gunnersville out of Goose Pond every Saturday.
Okay.
And there's that's just a Wildcat tournament. I think it's $20 per person. And then there's a Sunday evening tournament out of Browns Creek on the ball field side on Gunnersville every Sunday evening. I think it starts at it's either 1 or 2 o'clock.
I got you. Hey, Rex, talking about those Wildcat tournaments, you know, if you win that, do they polygraph all those tournaments?
No.
Okay.
Not the Wildcat tournaments. Wildcats are, you know, honor tournaments.
Yeah.
And then, yes, there have run into problems doing those before, just recently, just when we caught some cheaters in April.
Yes.
On Gunnersville. But, you know, most of the guys know one another.
Right.
It's not just, too big of a worry
it's just,
that.
Yeah, it's just fun.
You know. It's fun for some gas money.
Exactly. That's right. Fun for some gas money. So, well, hey, what about anything we need to know about Smith before I let you go?
Smith's the same old, same,
same
old.
Same old, same old. Okay.
Get on a November pattern and early morning top water and midday spinner base in the backs and pockets. That's all
I'd
be doing.
I got you. Well, good deal, Rex. Hey, man, as always, thanks for all the great information you give us and especially for just taking the time to call us. We really appreciate it.
All right. Y'all have a great
all right,
day
man. See you, Rex. All righty. See you, bud. There we have our local pro, Mr. Rex Chambers, has a piece in the paper each Tuesday that's always very informative, and we're thankful and appreciate Rex for, you know, joining us, Jason, and telling us what's going on in the lakes.
Oh, yeah. Somebody needs to tell me what's going on because it's been a couple of years since I've been out
and you live on a lake.
Yeah,
that's pitiful. Pitiful.
All right. It's break time, and we'll be back. We'll talk a little more SEC football and close out the week.
That's it.
You're listening to Sports Talk Live, 95.5, Coleman, Alabama.
Cyber Broadband has been providing broadband to areas generally not served by other providers. Now in its 10th year of providing service, Cyber has expanded to also offer services through Charter Communications. If you have service locally and would rather deal with a local company, Cyber Broadband can be reached at 256-734-1077. Cyber also has server co-location abilities. Visit them online at www.getcyber.net.
Michael's Flowers and Design in Coleman is your one-stop flower shop for any occasion, now carrying fine wine and craft beer. Michael's Flowers and Design is located in downtown Coleman next to Berkeley Bob's Coffee House, now also hosting special events and wine tasting. Our beautiful store is located at 302 First Avenue Southeast. We can be reached at 256-841-5553 or online at michaelsflowersanddesign.com.
Is your paycheck slipping away in insurance premiums? Let Alpha Insurance show you how to tackle savings with rewards and discounts for loyal customers. Save even more when you bundle your home, car, and life insurance with Alpha. Plus, you'll get friendly service from the hometown team right here in Coleman. That would be Cynthia Phillips, reachable at 256-734-1224, or stop by and pay her a visit behind Sonic Drive-In at 216 Compass Way Southwest. You can also send her an email, cphillips@alphains.com.
I'm Tommy Warhurst, your farmer's insurance agent. Protecting what you value most is my job, and I take it very seriously. Is your automobile liability enough to protect all that you've worked for? Does your homeowner's policy carry replacement cost coverage on contents? Or if something happens to you or your spouse, could you stay in your current home? I can help you answer these questions and more at 338-3701 or thewarhurstagency.com. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your Farmers Insurance Agent.
We are farmers. Bum, ba-da, bum, 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 bum.
I'm Tommy Warhurst.
And I'm Jason Coretti.
Inviting you to join us this Friday night for Friday Night Live.
Friday Night Live will showcase Coleman County's best high school football.
This week, it's senior night for the Coleman Bearcats as they host the Russellville Golden Tigers.
Airtime is 6:40 this Friday night on Live 95.
Listen live locally on Live 95 or from anywhere in the world on our Live 95 stream at live95coleman.com.
Or download the TuneIn Radio app. Search for Live 95.5 Coleman and listen on your smartphone.
Russellville at Coleman. This week on Friday Night Live, here on Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. Friday Night Live is brought to you in part by Farmers Insurance, the Warhurst Agency, Cyber Broadband, Good Hope Pharmacy, Morton Buildings, AK Rentals, Odin's Auto Glass, Scissors Salon, Fuller Optical, Alpha Agent Cynthia Phillips, Specialty Pharmacy, Joe Coretti Auto Service, and 157 Hardware.
Happy Halloween from Coleman's independent radio station,
Live 95.
All right, we're in the home stretch of Sports Talk Live Thursday edition. Getting ready for a little Florida State Louisville tonight, Ronnie. And
that's right. Do you know what the kickoff time? Do we have a time?
I think, don't quote me on this, but I think it is 6:30.
6:30. So that give you time just to get home and get a scrumptious supper meal that Kathy will prepare and in the recliner
and
you
I
go.
And I think that time is right because wasn't the Auburn-Kansas State game 6:30?
I believe that is correct.
And so it worked out just right going home for it. Hey, Ronnie, before we pick the SEC games.
You got to stir the pot?
We're going to stir the pot a little bit.
You're known for that.
Not a lot, but just something for Alabama fans to think about.
Something else for them to be frustrated over that they were ranked number six in the committee poll.
Yeah, if that wasn't enough.
If that's not enough.
The writer here on Bleacher Report states, the headline reads, and you can verify that it does read it.
It does. I read it.
Alabama, fourth best in their own division. What's your thoughts on that?
I think it's absurd, but I think I know where it's pretty obvious. You know, he's not going out on this person's not going out on the limb by making that statement. They're just going by the poll.
Right. They're going by the poll, which has Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Auburn all ahead.
At 1, 3, and 4, and Bama at 6. But, Bama doesn't play this weekend. So, Auburn, Ole Miss, one of them is going down. And Mississippi State has Arkansas. But
I'm going to tell you my thoughts on the Auburn game when we pick those games.
Yeah.
Before we do that, I want to throw something else at you.
Okay.
We know odds are, unless a miracle from God happens, that Will Muschamp is counting down his last days in Florida.
Oh, there isn't any doubt. They've already got boxes.
Okay, I'm gonna call out four or five coaches' names that they have
that's floating around out there.
Replacement possibilities. You tell me, are you buying it,
selling it, or holding it?
Or holding it.
All right. You got it. Buying, selling, or holding.
That's right.
Possible replacements.
Look at it like stock.
There you go. Possible replacements for Will Muschamp in case he is cut loose at Florida.
When he is cut
loose.
Okay. Coach number one, Baylor head coach Art Briles.
Buy, sell, or hold?
Buy, sell, or hold?
Sell.
Sell. You're not going to think he's going to be in Florida.
There's no chance of that.
It gets crazier.
Okay.
Hugh Freeze, Ole Miss.
Sell.
Selling that one, too. Dan Mullen, Mississippi State.
I'll hold that one.
Going to hold. Steve Spurrier, South Carolina.
That ain't going to happen. Sell.
Sell it. Okay. You ready for this one?
Yeah.
Tim Tebow, ESPN.
Tim Tebow, analyst who has never coached a lick of any football.
I don't even know why the name is thrown in there.
Why was it even thrown in there? That's just ridiculous.
You're going to sell that
one. He ain't even coached a third grade team.
That's right. But he is loved.
Oh, he's loved. Yeah, for right now. Let him run out the tunnel and get his eyes beat out.
Yeah, I know.
The love will be long gone. It'll be like Urban Meyer.
What about
he'll get some kind of illness, too.
Yeah, he probably will.
Yeah, that's what happened to Meyer.
It would make a lot of younger girls happy Tim Tebow went to coaching at the Florida Gators.
Absolutely.
So. What about Bob Stoops, Oklahoma?
And nothing would please me more than for Bob Stoops to come into the SEC.
Do you think he wants any SEC?
No.
I don't
even. Never would he want to. I don't care what.
As long as he's outside the conference, he can say whatever he wants.
That's right. I don't care what they paid him. He would not come to any SEC school.
I think I agree with you.
Yeah.
Florida going to be a good coaching job for someone.
For somebody.
But, as we called out the other day, Dan Mullen's already making more money at Mississippi State than Will Muschamp makes at Florida.
Yeah, but that won't matter if he wants the job. The question is, would Dan Mullen want the job?
What if you're coaching Mississippi State? You've got them ranked number one in the nation right now.
Yeah.
The Florida job comes open.
Yeah.
are you going to take the Florida job, or are you going to stay home at old Mississippi State?
Well,
what are
you
going to do?
My second question would be, did you take the job at Mississippi State with the idea of always staying at Mississippi State? The answer to that is no. So will Mullen stay? My personal feeling is no. Now, from what I've read and heard, and you know how all that goes, the AD at Florida, Foley is his last name, he and Mullen do not, for lack of a better word, they do not jihaw really well. They don't play well.
That is a word you're not going to hear.
That's right.
In a station in New York.
That's exactly right.
Jihaw. I know exactly what you mean.
That's pulled
jihaw
out of the Southern dialect, out of the Southern dictionary.
And they don't jihaw.
They don't jihaw. So, you know, that could throw a little bit of, you know, a little wrench in it there if you're potentially going to change and go to another school and you don't really get along with the AD.
If you work for somebody, you want to jihaw with them.
Yeah, and if they're going to be the one who fires you, you won't at least start out getting along with them. So, I don't know. But is Mullen going to stay at Mississippi State forever? No. But, you know, isn't that how fickle college athletics or college coaching is? Last year, midway through the season, he was probably it was getting close to him going somewhere else, not because he wanted to, but because he had to.
In fact, he wasn't on, but his name was being used on the sports talk networks.
Yeah.
And already talking about who would replace him at Mississippi.
That's right. You know, he was sitting there, you know, I think about 4-6 or something at one time, and then, you know, rattled off a couple in a row just to get to 6-6 to get to a get to a bowl game. And then, you know, they've kind of springboarded from there. But, I mean, that's just what a fine line it is, coaching, you know, college athletics, and professionals is even more so, you know.
Which Mississippi State sitting in a good position. I don't see this happening, but remember, I don't know when it was, a couple of years back, whatever. Mississippi State ran off 7 in a row.
Yeah.
7-0, and then lost
5 straight. So, I don't think that's going to happen, but I do not think they're going to win the West.
I don't know about that one.
I know.
I'm going to hold on that one. So
now, if they can beat, you know, if we look at what they've got left, we certainly know they've got Arkansas this week, and that's no gimme. Even though Arkansas is only one,
going to keep on to beat somebody.
They are, and they should have already done it. You know,
it should have been Alabama.
It very well could have been Alabama, and they should have won. They should have beaten Texas A&M. They had them beat and couldn't get one more first down. But, you know, Mississippi State, their schedule looks like this the remainder of the time. They've got Arkansas this week. Then we don't worry about the next one. The only two more teams that can possibly beat them is Bama and Ole Miss. They play Vandy. You know, they're going to beat Vandy and UT. I think it's maybe UT Martin. I don't know. UTM. I'm just going to guess it's UT Martin. So the only possibilities there is Bama and Ole Miss. They could win the West, but I'm still going to say they're not going to do it.
Ronnie, an interesting thing for Saturday. We've talked about it Tuesday, but I want to bring it up again. Alabama fans, you are almost, not quite, but you're almost going to be required to pull for Auburn Saturday against Ole Miss.
You have to.
So unless you want to put all your eggs in the Mississippi State basket,
I don't want to do that.
I mean, I
would be pulling for Auburn anyway, but I'm pulling for them even harder this week. I might even give them a war eagle.
Oh yeah, I hear.
I might even have a war eagle, you know. And if they win, I'll text you a war eagle.
I hear you, and I'll save it.
Yeah.
All right, let's pick the games for this week.
All right, this week's SEC games are as.
And we've got to throw in tonight's game. Let's add it on.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get it at the end. Of course, this week Alabama is open, so they need a break. See if they can get some people healthy. Speaking of that, their best offensive lineman, Cam Robinson, with a high ankle sprain, is probably going to be out a couple of weeks. By far their best lineman as a freshman. He has pro dollars written all over him. So he's probably going to miss the LSU game. I know that breaks your heart.
Yeah, that tears me up.
I knew it did. All right, Arkansas at Mississippi State. Who you got?
As much as I would like to pick Arkansas. I'm going to have to stay with the Bulldogs.
Me too. As much as I want to pick Arkansas, and I picked Arkansas before the season started, win six games and make it to a bowl, but it's not looking all that promising right now. But I would love for Arkansas to upset Mississippi State. Auburn will be at Ole Miss. Who you got?
Okay, Ronnie, this is the thought.
All right.
And this is the reason Auburn wins this game.
So that's your pick.
Yeah, Auburn wins it, but here's the reason. I don't think Ole Miss is as good offensively as Mississippi State. I don't think Bo Wallace is a Prescott.
I agree.
Auburn,
I'll give you that,
struggles at best to defend the pass. Pretty good in run defense.
That's pretty obvious.
Yeah, but they struggle.
Yeah.
Bo Wallace is not going to light Auburn up, I don't think.
You don't think
in
so?
The fashion that Prescott did.
But
Auburn is going to put some points on the board.
No,
I don't care whose defense.
How many are they going to score? How many do you think?
I think they score low 30s, upper 20s, low 30s.
Okay. That's a lot on the road against Ole Miss.
Who is averaging holding opponents to, what, 10 or 11?
Yes.
So, yep. But I think Auburn does it.
They're going to do it.
Nick Marshall running the ball is going to.
So your hope and prayer is that Bo Wallace plays like the Bo Wallace against LSU.
And I think Auburn wins it by a touchdown.
I hear you. If he doesn't, if he plays well, does Auburn still win, even if he plays well?
I don't know. We might win it by three.
Oh, by three. Okay. All right. Then we got the big cocktail party, the Florida Gators, and I think it's, Florida and Georgia.
I know what Greg said in this one, but I'm going to say the Bulldogs and an ugly one.
That's me, too. That's who I've got. Then we got Kentucky is going to be at Missouri. Who you got?
Missouri going to win. Kentucky's done their magic for this
year.
Yes,
I agree. I'm taking Missouri as well. LSU doesn't play anybody this week. Scrolling on down. South Carolina plays Tennessee.
Yeah, I think you're
right. That's right. South Carolina and Tennessee.
South Carolina wins this one by a touchdown.
I agree. I'm taking South Carolina as well. Texas A&M plays, let me find it, University of Louisiana Monroe.
That'll be a tough one, but Texas A&M pull it out.
A&M will pull it out. Okay. And then last, we have Vandy, and Vandy is playing Old Dominion.
Old Dominion is a basketball school.
Yeah, it is that.
So Vandy wins that one.
Vandy comes out with a win. And then the last one we had talked about was Florida State and Louisville tonight, 6:30 on ESPN. Who you got?
I've got Florida State still unbeaten.
Florida, Jason's taking Florida State. Well, I am going with Louisville Cardinals.
I hope you're right.
I do, too.
I'll buy you lunch next week.
I hear you. So that is my pick. The Louisville Cardinals are going to upset the Florida State Seminoles and put an end to their hopes to make the Final Four.
Hey, I hope you're right.
The playoff.
Folks, it starts tonight, 6:30, Florida State,
that's
Louisville,
it.
And then Saturday night, about the same time, 6:30, Auburn, Ole Miss. Get the popcorn ready and the peanuts parched.
That's it.
Hey, we're ready. Ronnie, hope you have a good, safe trip.
You got it, man. Looking forward to it. Little
golf. Until Tuesday, I'm going to leave you with a big War Eagle.
And I'll leave you with just a regular old Road Tide since we don't play.
All right. Thanks for joining us, folks. You're listening to Sports Talk Live, 95.5 Coleman. See you Tuesday.
Have a great weekend.
for the sound of his feet. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? I stand here on the edge of the seat. Out the doorway, push right up to the sound of the beat. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Halloween from Cullman's independent radio station, Live 95.